a major merger.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Deal-making has been tough to pull off in this credit-scarce economy. Well, here is a big one. Drug maker Merck says it's buying its rival Schering Plough. They're going to merge under the name Merck in a stock and cash deal worth about $41 billion. And this follows another big drug maker deal announced in January. That was Pfizer's acquisition of Wyeth. President Obama's auto task force is in Detroit today. The team is looking into whether to rescue General Motors and Chrysler. The White House faces a March 31st deadline for deciding whether to give those two companies almost $22 billion more dollars in federal assistance. Ford has not applied for government help, but it is hurting as well. Ford is looking to unload its struggling Volvo division so it can raise cash and keep its operations going. Over the weekend, rumor had it a couple of Chinese companies were about to make a bid. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Chinese automaker Geely has picked an investment bank to advise it on bidding for Volvo. That's one rumor. Another says Chinese brand Chery just got the government's permission to make its own bid. Lots of chatter lately about some Chinese acquisition of Volvo or GM Saab brand, even assets of Chrysler. Former Chrysler executive Bill Russo runs the consultancy Synergistics. He says the brands up for sale offer the latest car technology and name recognition, two things the Chinese need to go global.
They definitely want to be on the world stage, equivalent to the brands with the highest level of esteem. And the only way I see of getting there anytime within the next 10 years will be through an acquisition process.
Many Chinese automakers have the financing to pull off a deal, but none have managed a global brand before. And the brands in question may need a slew of repairs. Volvo, for instance, lost $1.5 billion last year. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Two leading Senate Republicans said yesterday that some of America's big banks ought to just be allowed to go under. Speaking on the Sunday morning TV talk shows, Arizona's John McCain criticized the Obama administration for not making tough decisions about the banks. Alabama's Richard Shelby singled out Citigroup for criticism, saying that bank has always been a problem child. Japan's Nikkei is at 26-year lows after another sell-off today, down by more than a percent. The Hong Kong index lost almost 5% of its value today, and in Europe, shares are down 1 to 2%. The Dow added 32 points yesterday. It's still just at 6,626. The Nasdaq is just below 1,300, and the S&P is still under the 700 mark. The U.S. bank bailouts are beginning to hit highly skilled immigrants. Some foreign students about to graduate from U.S. business schools have had their job offers pulled away. From London, Stephen Beard has that.
Bank of America has just given some foreign MBA students in the U.S. the bad news. They won't be getting a job with the bank after they graduate this summer. The bank blames a clause in the latest bailout legislation. Bank of America has already received $45 billion in government money. It's laying off thousands of American workers. So under the recent stimulus bill, it may not apply for visas for highly skilled immigrant workers. Stefan Szymański is with the Cass Business School. He says discriminating against foreign students in this way is regrettable, but hardly surprising.
All countries devoting large sums of public money to recovery plans will inevitably direct those resources towards national citizens who have votes rather than foreign citizens who don't.
But critics of the move say it could turn off hundreds of foreign students from enrolling with American business schools. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work. And by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com/new offers.
The sign said it all. All sales are final. Circuit City closed its doors for good yesterday. The company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in November. The hope was to emerge as a stronger company, but it couldn't work out a sale or new financing. Circuit City leaves behind more than 18 million square feet of vacant retail space and more than 34,000 employees.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Fortune magazine editor Alan Sloan. Alan, good to talk to you. Many companies are going the way of Circuit City, liquidation instead of reorganization and bankruptcy. Why is that?
Because when a big company goes bankrupt, it needs money. Because it needs money to operate, because usually the reason it's going bankrupt is it doesn't have very much money.
Right.
So what happens is the bankrupt, or whatever you want to call them, gets what's called in the trade dip financing. And that doesn't mean a pickpocket. It means debtor-in-possession financing, so it can run its business while it's in bankruptcy and try to figure out what to do and how to reorganize.
And that's a loan, and those are scarce.
Right, especially in the bankruptcy world, because a lot of the institutions that made these loans aren't making these loans anymore for a variety of reasons. And the rates on the ones that do get made, and there aren't that many, are something like 17%. And I have this image of a company in bankruptcy court whipping out its MasterCard, getting a cash advance.
So, Alan, what is a poor, dying company to do?
Well, it can liquidate, you know, sell everything, go out of business, which is what some of these retailers have done. And instead of maybe reorganizing and being a smaller company but emerging as a company, the pieces get sold in bits and pieces or just sort of sit there like a dead mackerel on the beach. And you know, and that's it. And the company goes away. I mean, I don't know if this is any tragedy, but it sure is for the people who don't have any jobs.
So where is this sad situation headed?
Well, it depends. The better things are for the bankruptcy professionals, generally speaking, the worse things are for the rest of us. So the one thing we can look forward to, maybe, is the boom in bankruptcy ending, in which case, if I hear the bankruptcy professionals complain that it's getting hard for them to find work, maybe that means there's hope for the rest of the economy.
That's a complaint you want to hear.
Indeed.
Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large at Fortune magazine. Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome.
How is this financial fallout changing your life? Let us know at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.